Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
Today's the beginning of our summer series we're calling Outbreak. We looked at several images about this, trying to create an image that would capture the attention of what we really wanted. We looked at viruses and all kinds of germs. Several of you have caught those already, we can hear and tell. I've been with you all week battling that same cough, so I get it. The reality is we wanted to capture this picture of what it was like for the early church to spread like wildfire around the world that they knew. So this series will be 13 weeks long. We're going to be looking at basically the story that's been captured in the book of Acts. We encourage you today to pull out of your bulletin the blue-green insert that has some sermon notes where you can follow along. I encourage you, if you like technology, you can open up the YouVersion Bible app, which I hope many of you have. If you look in that Bible app under events, you will find our live event, which will allow you to follow that scripture really clear for you because it's already outlined for you and some ways for you to even take some digital notes. Most importantly today, I just encourage you to listen for God's voice because I believe in that He's going to speak through what we're going to talk about today. I believe He's going to challenge every heart, and I don't want us to miss it. Over the course of several summers, we've taken this rhythm of doing a summer-long series. A couple of summers ago, we did the Sweet Life. Does anyone remember that? It was maybe some of your favorite sermons, because that Sweet Life sermon series was all summer long, and we tied biblical concepts to candy bars, and we passed out those candy bars every Sunday. We've never had such large Sunday attendance in summer as when we were passing out candy bars. I had special requests. Can you preach on Snickers, please? My favorite. We couldn't quite come up with one for Snickers. But we've done one recently, Once Upon a Time, where we looked at some of the main parables that Jesus spoke about. In 2012, we actually did the story of God, and Pastor Mike painted every week of that nine-week series a portion of the mural that is still out in our foyer, which still captures our attention as we look at it and try to wrestle with that story. So this year, this 13-week journey is going to cover the 28 chapters of the book of Acts, which in so many ways I consider the book of Acts to be the fifth gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are what we consider the four gospels of the New Testament. They tell the story of Jesus, and that's why they're called the gospel. But in so many ways, Acts kind of continues in that same flavor because it's so narrative. It's telling the story of the birth of the church, how the church began. It's a story of average men and women accomplishing incredible things. Accomplishing miraculous things. Actually, they accomplish unexplainable things outside of the power and the authority of God. The book of Acts actually opens with a summary of Luke, who's the author. Luke's summary to his main primary reader, Theophilus. And so Luke begins to tell Theo that Jesus came several times. He visited with his people several times over the course of 40 days, and he continued to do things that proved that he was not just a ghost, not just some kind of a strange image, but that Jesus was actually, without question, alive. Jesus continued to promise to his friends that there would be another promise coming. There would be another promised gift coming, and that they were needing to wait for that. Because see, the followers of Jesus, they knew the Father. They knew the Father through the prophets. The Old Testament was filled with knowledge and wisdom that God was giving through the prophets. They knew the Son of God because Jesus was right before them, and they were convinced that Jesus was the very Son of God. But what they did not know and what they could not comprehend was the Holy Spirit. Because, see, here's something you need to hear today. Knowing about the Holy Spirit does not change you. Knowing about the Holy Spirit did not impact the disciples one little bit. And in fact, I think I can prove this. Look at this, seriously. Even the resurrection of Jesus did not change the followers that much. If you look early in the book of Acts, we can see this. Remember that before Jesus died, there were these 12 apostles. There were also many more followers of Jesus. The tribe of Jesus was much wider than 12. There were people following Jesus as well. 12 were identified to be his apostles. They all believed that the greatest sign that the Messiah would ever do would be to restore the nation of Israel back to their prominence. That was the sign they were waiting for, to restore the nation of Israel. And so they were waiting for that. And I tell you that they didn't get changed that much by the resurrection, only because if you look at the beginning of Acts, they're still waiting for that moment to happen. Verse 6, when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore your kingdom? That's their number one question. He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. Jesus responds to this question of when will you restore the kingdom, by answering it with the how the kingdom will actually be restored. It will not be restored the way they think, with violence or force. The kingdom will be restored with love, but not their love, because we don't possess within ourselves enough love. The love that he's going to be speaking about is his love that will be flowing through them, because his Spirit is about to come and make residence in them. And when the Spirit comes, they won't be the same again. They won't think the same. They won't eat the same. They won't experience fear the same. As a matter of fact, everything is about to change because of the Holy Spirit. Because, see, it has never been. This is kind of a strange epiphany for me, but as you read the Old Testament and everything, it has never been about the nation of Israel. It has never been about the nation of Israel. It's always been an analogy to help us understand what God wants to do in every individual heart. You are the kingdom that he has always been reaching out to. You. This heart within you has always been the kingdom that God has been reaching out to. So he doesn't talk about restoration of the kingdom. In fact, he kind of says, don't worry about the nation. Be ready to receive the power of God when the Holy Spirit invades your very being. And just as Jesus gives this great wealth of information, this great aha, this moment where he gives the best piece of his resurrected message, boom, he takes off and he goes to heaven. The disciples are stuck there watching. Like, what just happened? We've never seen anyone do that before. You've never seen anybody come back from the dead before quite like this, you know, either. So Jesus is rocking their world, and as they're really trying to process this whole thing, they go back to the city, and they're soaking this all in. They're talking about, they're wrestling with what he has shared with them. And they make a decision. We need to replace Judas. Judas is no longer alive. They need to replace Judas and bring back their number to 12. And so they choose, through their methods, they choose Matthias. And they sit and they wait as Jesus told them to wait. They eat, they drink, they pray, they search the scriptures, they talk. On the Christian calendar, today is what we call the day of Pentecost. This is not just a Christian celebration. Actually, for centuries, the Jews have been celebrating this day. It was originally known as the Festival of Harvest, or the Festival of Weeks, as it became known. It is strange to have in the springtime a festival of harvest. I mean, the fields just got plowed yesterday around here for many farmers. So the reality is, for us to think about a spring harvest seems a little different, but we're used to winter wheat being harvested. We're used to some of this idea. And in Palestine, there were two seasons of harvest. One that came early in the year, the wheat, and one that would come in the fall. So this festival took on the name Pentecost because it was the Greek name given to the 50 days after the festival of the first fruits. So there's what you need to know is there will be no test given at the end of this message on the festivals of the Jewish people. But know this, they love to have parties, and they partied well. Okay? And so this is one of these moments. 50 days after the first fruits, there's a whole lot connected to this I can't go into, but we get right to it on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. They were celebrating. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them ability. This Pentecost Sunday is the birthday of the church. I wrote this the other day and I said, we should have cake. What birthday is complete without cake? I kind of tend to think that what day is complete without cake? Like, it's a good thing to celebrate. This is the birthday of the church. And as soon as the Holy Spirit comes and fills the followers of Jesus, what does it do? Some say, well, it gives the gift of tongues. It gives the gift of known human languages. But I would challenge you to look at this from a broader perspective. It's not just that the Holy Spirit empowers the believers with the gift of tongues. The Holy Spirit actually empowers the believers to fulfill their mission. The Holy Spirit empowers them in that very moment to do what He said that they were supposed to do right before He left. To go and to be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, in fact, to the very ends of the earth. Their mission, our mission in 2017, is to spread the word of Jesus to every corner of this globe. How are they going to do this? Let's look in verse 5. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. They heard the loud noise. Everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. The gift, this gift was not just for the disciples to have in their huddles inside of their closed rooms. This gift was not designed for them to keep to themselves. This gift was designed to get the attention of those who had not yet received the mercy of God or have understood the redemption that was available through Jesus Christ. Because I want you to know, Jesus was well known. Jesus was well known at this time. But for many people, Jesus was a rabbi who had been silenced and killed. End of story. Many people had missed the story of the resurrection. Many people had missed the story of what is available through Him. And so Peter, because Peter is the loudmouth of the group, he's the one that talks without thinking. He's the one that the Spirit can use the quickest because there's no filter in Peter's mind. He doesn't have to process things. He just lets it rip. So Peter stands up and he starts by quoting the prophet Joel, verse 17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. This is from the prophet Joel. This is not new. This is not something that is brand spanking hot off the press. This is the fulfillment of every one of God's promises that these devout Jews were aware of, but didn't know that Jesus had anything to do with. And so what Peter is simply trying to say is what you are experiencing is an extension of the prophets. What we are experiencing is an extension of the prophets. What we are tremendously experiencing is the infilling of the Holy Spirit was an extension of Jesus Christ Himself, because He said if He goes, then He'll give, and He's given, and we're now giving to you. He's not trying to create a new path. Peter is saying what you've known is coming to fulfillment right before your very eyes. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had studied the Word of God all of my life, if I had known that Joel's words were talking about the Spirit being poured out, if I was affirming that what Peter had said was true and I was experiencing it, that would be pretty stinking exciting. That would be pretty amazing. And that's what they were saying. So he concludes by saying, so let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, and I love this little rib, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's pretty clear. Peter's saying it real clear. 3 points. Repent, which means turn away from this is you and your selfish stuff or what you think to be true. Repent and turn to Jesus. All right? Then we need to baptize you in the name of Jesus, because that is, in that culture, baptism was like a membership ceremony. It was a way of saying, you're in. I love that. Just dunking people. You're in. Baptized in the name of Jesus. And then you will receive this amazing gift that we have received as well. In verse 41, those who believed what Peter had said, those who believed what Peter had said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. I'd take that. That's a good Sunday. That is a really good Sunday. I believe it can happen. The primary mission of the church was not to huddle, was not to have beautiful buildings, it was not for expansion. The primary purpose of the church was for none of that. The primary purpose of the church is to reach those who don't know Jesus with His story, with His love, with His mercy, and cold cups of water. I told Marianne earlier today, what would I ever do without you? Cough in your ears all day, I'll tell you that. Thank you, Marianne. Here's a beautiful thing I saw on this as I read again this amazing day of Pentecost. You know, all of us have a native tongue. All of us have a native language. Most of us here today are probably thinking, well, duh, it's English. You know, it's a Michigan version of it, right? If you have a little bit of a Michigan accent, some of you. The reality is we all have a native language of our heart. We all have a love language. We all have things we process, what we hear through various native languages of our heart. And what I'm seeing in this story that I don't think I'd ever seen before was the reality that when the Holy Spirit comes, He breaks down any and all barriers that get in the way of you not hearing and not perceiving and not understanding the message of God's love. This is not about the gift of tongues. This is not about the ability to speak in foreign languages. This is about the ability of the Holy Spirit to break down every wall that has been built up in your heart that is ignoring the message of the gospel right now. The Holy Spirit can break down any barrier that is in your way. Sometimes we build those walls. I should never preach about building walls right now. But sometimes we build up walls in our heart to protect ourselves. Sometimes those walls are put there by other people. But the reality is, when the Holy Spirit comes, He wants to break down every barrier that would ever get in the way of you receiving this amazing gift. That's what the day of Pentecost is really all about. It is not about the gift of tongues. It's not even just about the 3,000. The 3,000 is the result of barriers being broken down and God doing His work. No translations required. You hear it in your native tongue. No interpreter needed, because the Holy Spirit breaks it down. See, without the Holy Spirit, the Bible is just a book of stories and fables written a long time ago. That might be difficult to hear. I'll say it again. Without the Holy Spirit, the Bible is just a book of stories and fables written a long time ago. But with the Holy Spirit, the Scriptures come alive. With the Holy Spirit, they open a path of redemption for everyone to respond to. See, the gift that the disciples' lives received that day shows me that they were truly changed. They were truly transformed and empowered to do the work that Jesus promised that they would do, to spread the good news of mercy to the very ends of the earth. Before the Holy Spirit came, that mission was not going to be accomplished with their own strength. It was impossible. But when the Holy Spirit came, suddenly their mission was no longer about the nation of Israel. The mission was no longer about running out the Romans. The mission was no longer about defeating these oppressive people. The mission became about dealing with the heart of every human being that they came in contact with. And eventually it would lead them to even love the Gentiles, which they didn't love initially. But when the Holy Spirit continues and starts to do work, it's never done. The Holy Spirit was not done in them that day. It was only getting started. And that's the reality for us today too. Peter's message was plain. It was direct. It was easy to comprehend. But all because the Holy Spirit empowered average and maybe, quite honestly, slightly below average men and women to do amazing things, to speak amazing things, and then also to receive and to respond in amazing ways. Today is not only graduation Sunday. Today is actually the International Day for the Unreached. Yeah, I think every day has a day now. I think on Friday was the International Day of Donuts, or someday this week. I was like, that should be once a week. Like, what's wrong with that? I don't know how you get a day, but this is a special day I was made aware of this week, that it's the day, the International Day for the Unreached. Do you know that there are 2 billion people around this globe who have never heard the name Jesus? 2 billion. It's a lot of people. Many of these people live in lands that are very hostile for the church to get in and to do their work. In your YouVersion today, there is a link to the website, adayfortheunreached.org. Adayfortheunreached.org. Tonight at 7 o'clock, they'll be on Facebook. If you go to that website, click on the link for Facebook, there is a special live event featuring David Platt, who is the most serious, hardcore preacher I've ever heard in my life. You don't sit down without being buckled in to listen to David Platt. He's a young guy, but he brings it fast and furious. And he'll be preaching today about this desire to go and reach the unreached. So I want to make you aware of that today. The reason why I'm bringing this to your attention is because that is really the day of Pentecost. It is the mission of the church to reach the unreached. And I feel like sometimes many people think they are reached, but the reality is they're ignoring God. Their barriers are still very alive and well around their heart. The reality is we cannot find God without the Holy Spirit. And you're here today because the Holy Spirit is already at work in you. And I can know that because you're present here today. You're here. This means you have the Holy Spirit working somehow in your life. But we can't often understand the truth of the Scripture without the Holy Spirit. We can't reach anyone without the help of the Holy Spirit. We can't comprehend or speak of God's love without the help of the Holy Spirit. In fact, we need this gift from God so bad, or else we will just be doomed to a life of religion with no teeth. I'll say that one more time because I think it's pretty good. I put it in bold. We need this gift from God, or else we will be doomed to a life of religion with no teeth. Some of you have no teeth. How many of you? No, don't raise your hand. You know what it's like to have no teeth and want to eat meat? Pretty difficult. I don't want religion with no teeth. As a matter of fact, you know me well enough after 8.5 years, I'm not even into religion. I'm into a relationship with the Almighty God that will take us to new places. Religion is about doing things because we feel like we have rules to follow, because we got to somehow earn it ourselves. Relationship with God takes us to a whole other level of digging deep into His Word and understanding what He wants from us. And I don't want religion with no teeth, but there are thousands of people right here in this community who have religion with no teeth. We're called to reach them. There are thousands in our community who have no religion except the religion of themselves. We're called to reach them. We are called to do amazing things, but we cannot do this without the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is why I say this is my main point of the day. Embracing the Holy Spirit is essential for anyone following Jesus. Can you hear me on this? The Holy Spirit isn't just an option. The Holy Spirit is not just simply something that, wow, that'd be really great if I could understand that better. I'm saying if you want to follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit is essential for you to do this. And it is available for you to do this. Quickly, I want to read from John chapter 16 of the role of the Holy Spirit. These are Jesus' words about what the Holy Spirit will do. When He comes, He will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of coming judgment. The world's sin in that it refuses to believe in Me, Jesus. Righteousness that is available because I go to the Father and will see you, you will see Me no more. And judgment will come because of the ruler of this world has already been judged. So that's the areas that the Holy Spirit will convict. But more than that, He says, that there's so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Holy Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on His own, but will tell you what He has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. The Holy Spirit will convict and the Holy Spirit will guide. He is our helper. He is our comforter. He will bring life to the Word of God. He is our counselor. He is our sanctifier. And I'm telling you, there are many, many more words of what the Holy Spirit can do in you. Do you desire to experience the mercy of God? Do you desire on this day, the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church, to experience the true mercy of God? Do you hunger for the meaning and purpose of God in your life? Are you tired of trying to please everyone around you while feeling so hollow and lost inside? Have you ever been around the church just long enough to feel convinced that you'll never feel close to God or worthy of His affection? Have you ever wondered God's will for your life, but you're not sure how to discover it? Are you attempting in these critical days to make life-changing decisions, but you're not sure how? That might have been written there for the graduates, but I think it's there for all of us. I want you to know this. The Holy Spirit is absolutely essential for all of us to understand the answers to these questions and so much more. It is essential for following after God. It certainly was a game changer for the first followers of Jesus, and it remains equally as powerful for the followers of Jesus in 2017. This is not about Nazarene or Baptist or Catholic or Presbyterian or Methodist or anything. This is about being followers of Jesus with the help of His Holy Spirit, the gift He has promised us to have. So I want to ask you today, do you want it? Are you hungry for the gift of the Spirit in your life? Do you desire it today? We have just a few moments to close and we're going to sing, and I'm going to just invite you to sing along with us. But more importantly than that, I want to challenge you to receive this day. I want to challenge you to embrace this day. Would you pray with me? God, today, as we close our time together, as we contemplate and think about, God, how You are wanting to do a new work in us, as we reflect on the reality that this is the day that the church began, this is the day that the Holy Spirit came in, this is the moment in time that we could celebrate on the same level as Christmas and Easter, this is the day that we say that the game changer fell upon us, that the Holy Spirit changed the rules. May this be the day that it comes and falls on us anew as well. And not just for 11 graduates who've been recognized, and not just for their parents, not just for their grandparents, but for all of us here today. May Your Holy Spirit reveal itself to us and be real. May Your Holy Spirit today speak a message of mercy and compassion in all of our hearts. May Your Holy Spirit today come in and heal our wounds. May the Holy Spirit today come in and fill us with hope where we've become hopeless. May the Holy Spirit come in today and fill us with trust for Your plan where we've doubted. May the Holy Spirit today come in and forgive us of our sins, wreck our lives in all the greatest ways possible. And may the Holy Spirit come and flood our ability to think and reason and process. And may fear be driven from our lives. And may be hope and purpose and meaning be restored. God, we're tired of being a church that is doing this on our own strength. We're not interested in being the church anymore that wants to just come and follow the rules. We want to be a church that's filled. We want to have marriages that are filled with Your Spirit. We want to have friendships and relationships that are filled with Your Spirit. And we want to reach out to Flushing and its surrounding communities, not by our strength and not with our words, but with the words filled in us and through us by Your love and by Your Holy Spirit that can empower us to speak the native tongues of our neighbors and our families and our co-workers. God, help us on this day to receive what You have come to offer. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.